Well, good morning, everyone. So good to see you this morning. There was a Sunday school teacher who had had straight hair, and she decided she was going to go out and change her style a bit. So she went out and got a perm done, and something really curly. And she felt real good about her new do, and she started taking a bunch of selfies and posting them on Facebook. And the following Sunday, she noticed that one of her first grade boys in Sunday school was looking really down and bewildered. And she went up to the boy and asked, was something wrong? He says, it's your hair. She says, oh, you noticed, thank you. I got a perm and I really love it. And the young boy whispered, you do? Have you seen it? Humility comes hard sometimes, and that is the center focus of our lesson that we heard today. This, of course, is all wrapped together with the central theme that I've been discussing over the last few weeks, and that is the theme of prayer. If you have seen the movie Gravity, has anybody seen the movie Gravity with Sandra Bullock? Anybody seen that? Okay, a few of you have. There's a profound scene that I have never forgotten in that movie towards the end. And there's a character, Ryan, played by Sandra Bullock, and there's two astronauts, Ryan being one, was trapped in space after an accident. And the two are discussing their fate that's coming up. And Ryan turns to her fellow astronaut and she says, no one will mourn for me. No one will pray for my soul. Will you mourn for me? Will you pray for me? I mean, I'd pray for myself, but I never prayed. Nobody ever taught me how. How profound. How sad, actually. Family of God, if there is anything we can take away from the last few weeks, it is how important prayer is and how much God desires us to talk to Him. I don't want any of you to walk away from this place and say, no one taught me to pray. It's too important. Over the past few weeks, we have heard about thankfulness and praise in our prayers from the parable of the 10 lepers. Last week, we heard about persistence in our prayer. Persistent prayer is knowing and staying in that place where we are always in communication with the Father, who enjoys us being in communication with Him. Knowing that God is near, He is here and dear to our hearts as we open up to Him. He does hear us. Now we hear about our attitude. Our attitude before God can reflect our relationship with Him. How many believe that our attitude can affect our relationship with others? It does. It's the same with God. This reading is actually a continuation of the conversation Jesus is having from last week's gospel reading, except we are told that Jesus told this parable to some who trusted in themselves. That is, He is speaking to the Pharisees who are standing by. And here's the thing. These Pharisees are staring right in the eyes of God incarnate, Himself. How awesome that moment must have been, even if they didn't know it. Here is God in the flesh, and He is pleading inside, don't you get it? You're the pastors. Don't you get it? So what is Jesus saying in this particular parable? He is making a point by using characters people would understand in that day. There are two characters, again, just like we heard last week, there's two characters. One is the Pharisees, and one is the dreaded tax collector. First, let's look at the Pharisee. Remember that the Pharisees were the experts in the law. They were very strict in their traditions. They were the go-to people of the law. Therefore, they were very influential in the community. However, because of this, they thought very highly of themselves. They were extremely pious and proud people. Then we have the tax collector. These were among the most despised people in the land, and some still think that. They are not only collecting money for their government, but they were free to collect extra tax as a way of payment for themselves, sometimes extreme amounts, or even used extortion. not unlike our judge in the parable we read last week. They had contact with all members of society and were therefore considered to be unclean. They were also considered traitors and collaborators of Rome. So how, now we know as much as those who were listening knew. They knew what they were talking about when Jesus said Pharisees and tax collector. Now anyone who was there, was listening, they got it. They got it. There's clear understanding. So Jesus places the two characters in this parable in a temple together where they would go and worship. They both begin to pray. The Pharisee prays, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes, and all that I get. Breaking this prayer down, it's not really a prayer at all. First of all, although he says God, he is not really conversing with God. He is just spouting off to God how good he is. He just used prayer to exalt his own attributes in his own mind. This for the public recognition. This was for public recognition, even the embarrassment of someone else. Jesus is using this story and this prayer that he made up to show that what he thought of the direction that the Pharisees were going in and anyone else like them. They had lost sight of the reality of who God is. They lost the relationship that God so desires for us. They lost the cleansing that God wants to bring to the heart. They were so wrapped up in themselves that they couldn't see anything but the law. We have to understand, the issue is not that the Pharisees prayed publicly or even that they tithed or even good works that they did. It was the attitude. There was no relational conversation. Now Jesus shifts the scene over to the tax collector and one despised by the people, and the tax collector is standing off on the side with his head bowed and he's beating his breast. Already we get a glimpse of the difference of the attitude. The tax collector is humbling himself before the Father. He pleads with the Father. He wasn't showing off how good he was. He just simply said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The tax collector recognizes the wrong that he has been doing. He humbles himself before the Father and seeks forgiveness. He is seeking to get right before God. He wanted to get rid of all the stuff that he's been carrying around. And then Jesus drops this bombshell of the truth on the Pharisees who were listening to him to tell the story. He says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. If Scripture was ever a two-edged sword, it cuts to the spiritual core. It was that one for them, and still is. To be justified before God is to be made right with God. It is the removing of guilt. Justification is instantaneously given to an individual as righteous standing before God when we receive Jesus into our life. Justification is given when we bring our sinful nature before God and seek his forgiveness. It's washed away. To the Pharisees listening to these words, it had to be convicting, cutting right to the heart. And the door to eternal life is standing right there in front of them. So what is this saying to us today? We need to understand that as we go before God in prayer, we humbly open the door of our hearts and let Jesus in. Then his desire becomes our desire. Then our walk with God, our heart's desire is to know him and to praise him. Our heart's desire is to be thankful to him. Our heart's desire is to worship him. Our heart's desire is to communicate with him. And as we humble ourselves before him, when we look at what we have seen in our scriptures over the last few weeks, when we look at the praise of the healed lepers 2 weeks ago, when we seek after his presence in our lives last week, when we humbly see the sin in our own lives and we seek his forgiveness and humbly go before him, today's reading, There is something recognizable to us that the Lord is revealing to us about prayer over these weeks. And maybe you'll recognize it. Our Father, hallowed be your name. We praise him when we come before him in prayer. We give him the honor due his name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth. He wants to be present in our lives, here and now, in all that we do. Forgive us our sins. Deliver us from evil. We seek his forgiveness for things where we messed up. You see, Jesus taught us how to pray. He gave us a model we call the Lord's Prayer to use when we approach the Father. Those are beautiful words that I've taught on this before. It's not just words we say, which we do, this beautiful prayer, but it's also what we do in prayer. It's a model of how to pray, how to approach the Father. When we apply that model of prayer as we approach God the Father, what boils up from within is an attitude of humility before a loving God who wants to hear from us. And it reflects in our whole attitude towards him. Again, it's about being in a place with God that is so unique. It is beyond anything that we can experience. It is a relationship that Jesus makes very clear in the passage following our reading today. Some people were bringing infants to Jesus so he could lay hands on them and bless them. It was a common practice to take your children to the rabbi for a blessing. And during this particular time, the disciples were blocking the parents from coming to Jesus. We're not told why. Maybe they thought Jesus was tired. He's had a long day and needed a rest and just trying to protect him a bit. But Jesus stops them and says, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." Jesus wants us to be childlike in our relationship with him. That doesn't mean childish, but childlike. An unspoiled child reflects many of the attributes Jesus is talking about. There is a dependence. There is a willingness to listen and learn and grow. They are searching for life in their lives. Jesus is saying the same thing about us. There is a need to be a dependence on God, an understanding that we all need him in all aspects of our life. We need to continue to listen and learn and inwardly digest the word given to us, and to grow in him. We need to grow. A child understands that survival is based on a relationship with the parent. Who's going to feed them that night? Our eternal survival is based on a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. The great news for us today is that we too can experience the fullness and the joy of what God has to offer. The church is the body of the people who recognize that we are but sinners and we are saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. The church is a body of people who humble themselves before God and say, "Thank you, Jesus, forgiving me. You've taken my sins." And then we can step into this wonderful walk with him through the Holy Spirit and walk in a life of service to him. Not to glorify us, but to glorify him. Whenever we pray for the sick and we see a healing, that doesn't glorify us. It glorifies God. That walk and that service will be seen by others, but not out of our pride to be seen by others, but out of our willingness to serve others, because they need what they see in you. Not because we say we are better than anyone else, but because the very reflection of who God is shining through us. May our hearts be a place that yearns for his presence. May our hearts be transformed more and more as we grow in him. May our hearts be humbled and know that God desires so much through anyone who calls on his name. The character Ryan in the movie Gravity realized something that she was missing in the moment of desperate need, something that no one ever taught her. May the Lord help us to reach out to others with that hope and that assurance that He is here, that He desires that relationship with all who come to Him. He is among us, and He desires us to be in communication with Him and to be used by Him. Jesus came for a reason. May our hearts always be open to Him, to receive Him. He has given us His very Spirit to all who receive Him and all who want to enter in. And believe me, there's a ton of folks out there who are looking for the same thing. Who's going to tell them? The body of Christ. We need to tell them. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much that we can enter into Your presence, that we can come before You, and that we know that You hear us. Lord, we ask that You would move by Your Spirit in every person in this room. And as we step out of this place, Lord God, I pray that all those we come in contact with, whoever, whatever way You want it to be, if You open the door, give us courage, Lord God, to say the word, to pray, to speak a nice word, whatever it is that You want us to do in the presence of that person. Father, I pray for the body of Christ throughout this community. We are a body of Christ, not just the denomination. So, Father, I ask that You would move mightily through the churches in this church, through the pastors in this church, that they may understand and truly understand what it means to pray and to move out into Your will, in Your will, and to move out and reach out to others who are hurting so much and need so much to receive from You, and they don't know it yet. Is anyone going to teach them? Lord God, open the door that we might be those people to teach them. Move by Your Spirit, Lord God, in the hearts of Your people. And we thank You, Father. We give You honor. We give You glory. We give You thanks for our salvation. Now, Father, use us, we pray. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please take a moment to reflect both on the scriptures and the message that we have heard this morning.